you're worried about summer going too fast, now might be a perfect time to slow down with a beach towel and a book. You're listening to SDPB's Teacher Talk, where two teachers and a journalist talk about today's hottest topics in education. Well, we are in the middle of summer reading season, and that means the programs at your summer library are in full swing. So Jackie Wilbur and Gina Benz and I gathered around the microphones at SDPB Studios in Vermilion for tips on navigating your local library, creating your own reading corner, and the power of reading aloud. Gina Benz has been teaching for more than 25 years. She is a recipient of the Milken Educator Award. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member at the University of South Dakota School of Education, where she serves as director of the Center for Student and Professional Services there. Gina is a high school teacher at Roosevelt in Sioux Falls and an adjunct professor at several state universities. Jackie has been a teacher and a public librarian. Here's our conversation.
I love summer reading for a number of reasons, but I was a public librarian for a period of time, and so I am intimately familiar with the summer reading program at your local public library. I'm a big advocate of it, and so I like to talk about that programming and then kind of the rationale behind inspiring and encouraging students to read for joy and pleasure in the summer.
For joy and pleasure in the summer. So
yes.
We talked a lot about science of reading. Mm-hmm. We've talked about reading scores. You can see all the headlines, but reading at its core is fun.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Reading is fundamental.
It should be fun.
It should be fun, but sometimes we make it not fun.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the heart of it. It should be fun. Let's keep it fun.
Let's keep it fun. So start with your library.
Yeah, your local library is going to have a summer reading program. For most libraries, it goes for the month of June and the month of July. So it'll often start June 1 and then end the last day in July. And there'll be often a kickoff program and then a end of summer reading celebration. Many different libraries will have apps or ways that you can track your child's reading progress over the summer. And there's often a lot of ways to participate, whether it's the number of books you read, the number of minutes you read, and there'll be celebratory things along the way. So some do prizes or treats or celebrate in various ways. And no matter what your local library is doing, there's something I think about the camaraderie and the joy of saying we're all kind of reading this summer as a community and we're encouraging mm-hmm. students to read. Often extra programming too. There'll be more activities at the library during that time.
Because they just show up and walk in, there's probably going to be
something
fun
going on
for your kids.
Yep.
And that exposes them to books and movies and everything that the library has to offer.
Yes, which is like
abundance. Because you forget
abundance.
How often kids maybe don't get to go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people grow up and they're intimidated by a library.
You know, it's so interesting. I think one of the things that librarians do such a good job of, and one of the things I enjoyed doing the most as a librarian, was showing people how to operate in the library. I think it's the last place now that you can exist for free. There's nothing to buy in the library. And public spaces like that are just really rare now. That's the first thing I would say to folks, is that you can just be in the library and there's no expectation that you purchase anything or even necessarily do anything in the library, which mm-hmm. I also like. You can go and sit in a chair and be there. Mm-hmm. But then the way that the libraries organize the different books, CDs, DVDs, seeds often for your garden, that's pretty common now too, newspapers, magazines, the online resources. They even have streaming services now, Canopy. You can watch kind of like a Netflix type thing on an app on your phone or on your home device. All of that's available for free through the library, and the librarians there know how to get you connected with all of those things, all of those resources.
And the library of things, often there are things you
can
check out.
Yeah, there is.
It might be tools. It might be a microphone to make your own podcast. It might be bread baking with instructions or a kit. Librarians are endlessly creative.
Yes, and extremely resourceful.
Also in the library, maybe you just say there are librarians.
Yes, they're the most important part of the library. Mm-hmm. I feel like librarians are to libraries as teachers are to classrooms, just key to the success and the functionality.
Did you grow up in a library?
Yes, I've been an avid user of the library since I can remember. Yep, I went to Storytime as a kid, which I called library school. It was never called that. That's my own name for Storytime. this library school. Yeah, I remember going as a, it's one of my earliest memories.
Yeah. Mm. Gina, do you have a library growing up?
I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And so library access was not that simple for me.
Me too. I never went into a library
right.
as a kid.
Yeah. My small town did have a library that wasn't open all the time. And there were a few times I remember going there. But I think once I got to school and there was a school library, whew, that was magic.
Yeah. I don't remember the school library either.
Oh.
Really? You didn't take like trips from your classroom down to the library?
I don't remember doing that in elementary school. Again, rural, you know, rural upbringing. I don't remember there being a library. Mm. My first memory of reading in a classroom was with my aunt, who was a teacher in Minnesota. And I would go up and stay with her at the lake. And then she and her friend, who I called Auntie Joan, even though we weren't really aunts, but they were aunties because they were beefaws, best friends at work.
Yes.
And I would go to her classroom in the summer while she did work, the summer work that teachers do in the classroom, and I would sit in her reading corner. And that's the first, we had books in our house, and often they were given to me by my book aunt and my parents, but that reading corner was the first library-like experience that I had.
So it was her personal classroom library.
It was her personal classroom library.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's can we just talk
only
about
young library memory? Yeah.
Wow.
Can we just talk about reading corners for just a hot minute?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
I love going into elementary classrooms with my teacher pathway students and seeing how fun the reading corners are, right? Like there's a bathtub and kids can sit in the bath and read a book, or there's flashlights and the teacher turns off the lights and they all get under their desks or whatever and read with a flashlight. There's comfy chairs. There's a tent. Kids can go in and read. And I think it's...
I want that now.
I know. Like in my house, right?
In my house. Yeah. I'm getting ideas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But just keeping reading fun. And also that message that reading doesn't just happen at school.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen at home in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about summer reading and what parents and teachers can do. And, you know, how important is it for the adults, for kids to see adults reading, Jackie?
Oh, incredibly important. Both seeing them read and then reading to them is incredibly important. Students who are read to, I mean, this is a rough statistic that actually has some pretty rigorous science behind it that I'm not quoting at the present moment, but students who are read to will be exposed to a million more words than students who are not by the time they start kindergarten. So just that early child reading, having books in the home is a key. Also take a moment to talk about Every Child Ready to Read and their 5 early childhood literacy standards, because I think that can help broaden the scope of what reading can look like. But it's talk, read, write, sing, and play are the early childhood reading, Every Child Ready to Read standards. So just by
talk,
read, write, sing, and play. And so if you are talking to your children, they are going to be gaining background knowledge and learning more words. So if they encounter the word, I think I've used this in our other descriptions, but if you encounter the word basketball and you're someone in your family shows you what a basketball looks like, then when you encounter that word later in life, you have a frame of reference. But if you've never heard of the word basketball, you've never seen a basketball, if you see it written out, it's not going to register. Mm-hmm. So that's talking is just a really key part of developing students' background knowledge to be able to learn. Yeah.
You're
to
cooking
read.
Dinner.
You just
describe
talk about
what
it.
You're doing.
Yeah. Pretend you're just talk about it.
Pretend you're on a cooking show.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the microplane rasp out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that becomes part of the vocabulary of your home.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's what I do with my kids.
I zested lemons last night, so that's why.
I love this.
I'm impressed.
I love this. Yes. So it's not just reading that's part of it. It's
singing,
playing, all of that. Playing is key, too. And back to reading being fun. That's what the great authors are doing. Shakespeare is playing with language. It's all part of that word play. That's like the ultimate goal of being literate, is to be able to play around with words.
How do you help your kids pick books?
Great question. First of all, let your kids pick their own books would be my number one recommendation. Students, kiddos have a lot of interests and they can gravitate. And even sometimes, you know, they might grab a book that you're like, that's too hard. So what? You know, that's too easy. So what? There's no, first of all, most of the time you can check out like 50 books at the library. So just, it's okay if they pick some that they are not going to read or that they've read a million times or that are too challenging for them. So I wouldn't put any rules unless you have kind of rules that you stand by as a family member, of course, uphold those.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say from a a librarian or a teacher standpoint that there's rules
from
on
a literacy standpoint.
Yeah.
You're not trying to necessarily say that book is too easy.
Mm-hmm.
That Why book are is you too hard. Only reading about dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, love the dinosaur books, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wherever the
Just
joy
let
is.
Let it go.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let them pick them out. And then the librarian can help you too. If your kiddo is obsessed with dinosaurs and they want to bring only dinosaur books home, just ask the librarian, can you pull as many dinosaur books as possible? And then I loved doing that. And I would bring a big pile to kids. Aww. And then they would pick through the dinosaur books and say, I'm taking this one, this one, this one. Yeah. So that was a
My
very
kid
fun
likes
job.
Dinosaurs. What that. Else might they like? Kind
Correct.
Of thing.
Yes.
I can't remember where. I wish I could remember where I read this. So someone come tell me if you know. But there was a librarian who used to ask kids what's in their pockets.
You told me this story, yeah. yes. I yeah. don't know who you're
like
talking about.
I'm looking for a book. What's in your pocket? And they would empty out their pockets. And then the librarian would be like, hey, I know what kind of book you're going to like.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that was like, you know, the placebo effect. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to believe that, you know,
yeah.
I can see into your life, in mm-hmm. your inner life somehow. Or if the librarian really had that down. But
I don't know. I think I wonder how I'm going to sound right now. I felt this happen regularly when I was a librarian, where there's something about the library itself that I think first of all, you're looking at books a lot. You're remembering what you read as a kid. You're in that space often. So you have – I feel like all librarians kind of have an intimate knowledge of what's in the collection because they're just there a lot. But there were several times when students would say, oh, I just finished reading this book, and I kind of like this thing or this thing, and – because of the magic of the library, I'd be like, I know exactly what book you would want. And I think that if that had happened on the street corner and someone said, could you recommend a book to me, I don't think I would have been able to do it. But there's something about being in that space where you can kind of step up to the plate.
How about audiobooks?
I love audiobooks. I don't know. I might be putting this particular thought into people's minds and maybe it's not there. But I've heard the sentiment that, oh, I should say I listened to this book. I didn't really sure. read it. Or, oh, it's kind of quote-unquote cheating to listen to audiobooks. And I would argue that maybe audiobooks is the correct way to read. And I think most books request being read aloud. Yes.
Say
I think
more.
Yeah, I really do feel that way. I think so many books are read aloud. That's mm-hmm. how we read to each other and how you get the intonation of the different characters in the book and how you get a sense of the voice of the author. So I'm a big fan of audiobooks. I would also say students can read at a higher level if they're hearing it. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great tool to give them both the physical copy and the audiobook together, mm-hmm. since students can have it read to them as they're following along. But not a requirement. They also can just listen to the book, and it counts as reading. It really does.
We used to, in our family, listen to the checkout from the library, the Junie B. Jones books mm-hmm. on audio. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I would have to pull over. I was laughing so hard.
I love that.
At how so funny. The delivery, you know, so then again, you're modeling. I'm an adult and I'm enjoying this book, and mm-hmm. it's Junie B. Jones, and we're mm-hmm. in second grade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you can find a lot of kids' books that are really fun for family.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Harry Potter famously mm-hmm. has a great audio recording with all kinds of actors. There's a lot at the library to mm-hmm. listen to.
Those Vox books, too, will read the physical book aloud to a child, so it'll play it. Depending on your library, too, there's many different online resources where they kind of have a video version of the book where it'll turn the pages and the characters mm-hmm. will move a little bit and they'll highlight the words. I will add, if you're saying, you know what, I really want my child to practice reading a book aloud or reading a book silently this summer, and I'd like to be able to help them find a book that's going to be on target for reading level, a quick trick is to have the student still pick out a book that they are interested in and then say, open the book to any random page and read it. And if you trip over more than two words on the page, it's probably going to be a little too difficult for that student to read solo. But if it's one or two words, it's probably going to be right in a good stretch range where it's a little challenging, but they would be able to make their way through. So that's a quick trick. Just open the book to any page, have them read it out loud. If one or two words they stumble on, they'll probably be fine to check that book out and read it themselves.
That's great advice.
Gina, older kids, high school students who have been reading all school year and now they're like, books?
You know what? I feel the same as their high school teacher. I've been reading with them. I read the books with them. Yeah. I've been reading all of their writing. And I do often take a break from actual eyes on paper reading, but listening. Mm-hmm. I still like to listen to the stories. And so that's a great option, too. If you just feel kind of burnt out, I like to do that. I know my students, and again, I teach juniors and seniors. They love it when I read aloud to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, some people in their ivory tower would balk at that. But not every kid had an adult read to them and feel right. comfortable and right. safe and enveloped in that experience. And so sometimes I like to say, all right, it's story time with Miss Benz. And the way their shoulders drop and they just sit back and smile and then beg for more, something good must be happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think that reading is so pleasurable when it's done in community. I first realized this when I was teaching The Grapes of Wrath. That's a hard book. But when we did it in community and discussed it, it became so meaningful to them.
Sure.
So I like books because you can do it by yourself, but so often you want to talk about the book with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And books are a community builder in that way.
Yeah. What are you excited to read this summer for yourself?
Great yeah. question. I love admitting this out loud to everyone because I think it often surprises people that I'm not reading like more research or something in the summertime, but I love murder mysteries. I will read so many murder mysteries year round. I think not in a, they call them cozy mysteries mm-hmm. in the library community. So they're not very gory. They're mostly like fancy people with fancy food mm-hmm. and a fancy, very clean murder that gets tidily solved at the end. So I like Nero Wolfe by Rex Stout. I like that whole series. I like Stephanie Daniels, Franny Fisher. I read those. I might read Lena Dunham's book this summer. I have it. I'm waiting for it on Libby to come through in audiobook. But mostly I read murder mysteries in the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah. Gina, summer reads?
I am a person who loves nonfiction, informational text.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a book ordered coming, The Digital Delusion.
Oh.
And it was recommended to me by one of my colleagues, and it's about how much we should be using technology in the classroom and what the use of technology in the classroom does to students' brains for good and for bad. I'm excited to parse that out. And then I'm going to revisit the book Boundaries as well because mm-hmm. I think that refresher is always good.
Yeah.
So I like to reread books.
Yeah. Rereading in the summer is really fun too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am super excited because Ruth Ozeki, who is one of my favorite authors, has a new book of short stories coming out.
Mm.
And I cannot wait to go to the bookstore and buy this. I should pre-order, but I didn't. I'm going to wait till it comes out. And Ruth Ozeki doing short stories. And I heard an interview with her, and she said, you know, she's getting older. I think she's in her early 70s. And she has so many ideas for books. She's like, I got to write faster.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do short stories for a while. I'm like, thank you. Kurt Vonnegut did this near the end of his life
mm-hmm.
where he would just summarize a short story and he would summarize a story and then embed it into another story because mm-hmm. he had so many ideas he couldn't get them all out.
Wow.
It's
wow.
delightful.
I love those.
To read those now.
That's yeah. fun.
Also, I'm going to revisit Carl Hiaasen because my dad got me interested in Carl Hiaasen and all of his personal copies of those books are still in our family. And so I'm going to
What type of book is that?
Humor, adventure, what would you call that? There's usually a murder in there mm-hmm. or a crime, you know.
Okay.
Thriller, Florida. Maybe?
Maybe.
Not that thrilling, though.
Gosh, like, it's been a while. I wonder mm-hmm. how you would describe Carl Hiaasen. He just writes about Florida, basically.
Okay.
It's like, how crazy is, you know, this character's, he did Striptease. Remember that movie with Demi
mm-hmm.
Moore?
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
Carl Hiaasen.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some kind of caper. There's some kind of caper going on.
Yep. And it would just be in the fiction section at your local library.
Yeah, fiction.
So
yeah.
General fiction.
And, mm-hmm. and Carl Hiaasen writes great books for kids. Flush,
mm-hmm.
Hoot.
Yep.
Which I think have both been made into movies. So mm-hmm. anyway. Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Thank you.
That is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. And we hope that you are curled up with a good book. Share that book with your fellow teachers. Tell us what you're reading. Send me an email in the moment at sdpb.org. And as always, thank you for listening.